Thank you, Shannon. That was one of those children's summers where you just go, well, let's just leave it right there. And I don't think I can improve on that. But we'll read the scripture lesson. Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 62. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent his messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us into your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, things have really changed in the last week. You know, there's the overturning of Roe versus Wade by the Supreme Court. That made abortion the law of the land. Now it's up to the states to decide. And that may make you happy. It may make you sad or confused or angry. But whatever, we're going to live in a new world now. And I was thinking about how many changes have been. These changes have come on. I mean, even COVID. We never lived in a pandemic before 2 years ago. And now, you know, it's kind of like, well, everybody's kind of tired of it. And, you know, you don't have to wear masks as much. But it's still there, and it's probably just going to be around, just kind of like the flu every year is going to be. So many changes. I mean, personally, you may have had a change in your life where you've gotten a diagnosis, where you realize that your life has got to change because of a sickness, and you've got a healing regimen that you've got to be on. If you've lost somebody to death, and they were essential to you, you don't really want to get used to this new normal, but it keeps banging on you every day. So many changes. You know, just less dramatic, just summertime is a big change. You know, if you were in school, now you're probably not in school. People change schools during the summer. They change jobs a lot during the summer. They change towns. You know, we're still missing Tanner and Hannah and their family, Ruthie and Benjamin, Amos. I think that's all of them. And, you know, we're still, you know, they've got to deal with a lot of changes moving from Laurinburg to Pittsburgh. I mean, there's not much similarity between those towns. And I remember, you know, remember Ferris Bueller's Day Off where he comes in and he says, life comes at you fast. So you got to stop and look around. And about the same time that Roe v. Wade was becoming the law of the land, Alvin Toffler published a book called Future Shock. And I had to read it in college. And one of the things that he said in Future Shock is that what's going to happen, and that was 1973, what's going to happen is that the rate of change in our lives is going to pick up. the rate of change over time is going to increase exponentially. And that was almost 50 years ago. So, I mean, we're getting changes one right after another right now, and it makes your head spin. And so as a Christian person, it still affects us that we're on this road and things are changing and we're trying to chart this path. God, where are you calling me? What is my calling now, God? And I'll just tell you, as a ordained person, I have to reevaluate that regularly. God, what are you calling me to this week? You know, what? You know, I think I know what my job is, but maybe I should do this week too. And so I think our scripture can help us today, because Jesus has made a big change right here, and the disciples have had to make big changes too. And I think that because we're going to deal with James and John in this passage, I think it'd be helpful if we go back to where they were first called, where they were four fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And Jesus, you know the whole story, you know, Jesus comes by their boat, and he asks them to put out into the water a little bit so he can preach. And then he tells them to put their nets down for a catch. And then they bring in all these fish. And then Peter says, "Oh, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." And I think because he knows maybe that will disqualify him from what's coming up. And Jesus says, "Follow me. Okay? I know you're a sinful man. Follow me." And so what they do is they lay down their nets and they leave the familiar. They leave the predictable. You know, I mean, fishing, that kind of fishing, you go probably early in the morning, get the nets ready, get in the boat, and then they go and they pull those nets around and they catch fish or they don't. They come in and then they take the fish out of the nets and then they clean the nets and then they go sell the fish. That's what they've been doing. That's the routine of their life. And if you like routine, I like routine. If you like routine, Jesus upsets our routine because Jesus keeps calling us to do new things. So they traded the familiar for the unfamiliar. They traded the predictable for the unpredictable. And that's true for churches. You know, churches think, okay, this is what we do. And then God leads us into new things. God leads us to do things that we haven't done before. But God is so alive and so unique and dynamic that's the best thing for us as individuals and for a church, for God not to let us just kind of get set in our ways, to trade the familiar for the unfamiliar, the predictable for the unpredictable. And so here's what happened. You know, in this story now, it's about to change again because they've given up everything for Jesus. And they've been following him, and Jesus has been teaching them things, you know, and they've had to do stuff they didn't think they could do. You know, they were fishermen, but he's going, okay, I want you to take these loaves and fishes and feed these 5,000 people. Ooh. Or they're out at sea in a big storm, and Jesus comes walking to them on the boat and say, "Where is your faith?" You know what I mean? There's all kinds of things Jesus was teaching them up to this point, and now something has happened. And the thing that has happened is verse 51, when the days grew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to Jerusalem. And that is taken up is to be taken up on the cross. And so the time, this is the way Luke turns this corner. The time for Jesus, the teaching time for that is over. And now it's a new teaching time. And he is set his face to go to Jerusalem and die on the cross for us. And he has got to teach the disciples some things about how to carry on his mission. And so, I'm sorry I'm laughing, but I just think this is a very funny piece right here. So on their way, they send some messengers ahead for them to stay in a town. You know, the hospitality, that's what, there weren't, you know, Motel 6s. People would stay with people. And so they went to this town, the guys went ahead, and there was a Samaritan village, and the Samaritans and the Jews had never gotten along because the Samaritans were ones who had stayed. When the Jews got carted off into captivity, the Samaritans stayed, and they intermarried with the Babylonians, and so the Jews thought they were unclean, and the Samaritans didn't like them thinking they were unclean, and so they had this big standoff. Samaritan village,
And they ask if Jesus could stay, and they said no. And so they come back to Jesus, and they say, you know, they're not going to stay here. And then this is great. Verse 54, James and John. Okay, remember, James and John are two of the original fishermen, right? And then they were also two, along with Peter, who saw the transfiguration, who were up on the Mount of Transfiguration, saw Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah. That's maybe in their head a little bit. And so they're feeling their roots right now. And they're feeling pretty, pretty powerful. And so when they find out that they've rejected Jesus in Samaria, James and John said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" Now that's the way disciples ought to act right there. If you want to follow Jesus, incinerate people. And Jesus, you know, he's got to be going, "Oh, man, what have I taught these boys?" And as Jesus turned and rebuked them. I would love to hear the quote there, but it had to be something like, "Are you kidding?" But that's, you know, that shows you the amount of work Jesus has got to do, you know. And you know, you and I, we don't feel like we can call fire down from heaven when people do not welcome us or have a different point of view of us or reject our point of view. But we kind of want them to pay, don't we? You know, don't we want to say, God will handle you. You know, whatever the issue is, God's gonna get you. You know, I've seen this. I mean, I've really seen it. So that's one of the unfamiliar patterns that they've got to get used to, is you don't call down vengeance from heaven to your people who reject you. You know, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And so Jesus, his whole thing is, how are these guys who want to incinerate people, how are they going to carry on my ministry ahead? And so Luke lists three things that happened right immediately thereafter, what Jesus is saying, and Shannon did a great thing talking about them. One guy says, "I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus says, you know, "The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." You know, you got to be ready for not a life of ease. You know, you're sleeping out on the roadside. To another person, Jesus said, "Follow me." And he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus goes, "No, now." You know, he says, "Let the bury their own dead." And then another says, "I'll follow you, but first, let me say farewell. Let me say, go home and say goodbye to people." No. And it's the call of Christ is a call to serve Jesus and to do what Jesus says and to follow down a road that you don't know where that road's going. You do not know, but God knows. And that's the thing we have to hold on to. It is not clear where our road's going any day. With all these changes that we've been talking about, it's not clear where our road is leading. But God knows where our road is leading, even if we don't. You know, I think of that song, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And the lamp unto your feet just shows you the next step. It shows you the roots that you might trip over, you know, the stones. And the light to my path is kind of like street lights disappearing around the corner. Is it, you know, at nighttime, you know, okay, the road's going to go kind of like that. But those street lights aren't showing you the roots and the stones for those steps. It's just showing you kind of, you're going to kind of go this way. And that has really been my experience of following Jesus, is that I can kind of see next week. I can see, you know, I can kind of see where we're going this summer. But the long term is you're always, and this, I think by design, we have to be able to trust God. We have to be able to say, okay, God, I trust you with my future. And it does not matter whether you are a college student, high school student, a grammar school student, if you're a person who's retired, a person who is in the middle of work, it doesn't matter. God has a call on your life. And God is wanting you to follow down that road that you don't know where it goes. And that can be a scary thing. And so all those questions that I asked at the beginning, you know, where we say, wow, look, you know, we're in a world now where laws have changed that we've gotten used to, where we have a pandemic that we never saw before, where people have died that were essential to us, and how do you live now, where we have diagnoses that we've never had to deal with before about our own bodies,
And that is what you place in the hands of Jesus. It is those things. And know that you are on the road and you can't see the end, but Jesus is seeing the end. And your job is just to follow and not to make excuses and not to say, well, I'm going to go home. Your job is to follow and my job is to follow. Where is this road we're on going to take us? I found a really cool quote about this from Peter Sharper. And he said, a popular church metaphor is that of the people of God on a pilgrimage, which I've heard before, you know, Pilgrim's Progress. But a more apt metaphor should be that of the people of God as nomads. Pilgrims know where their journey is headed. Nomads are called to go by uncertain paths to a place that shall be made holy at some indefinite time by something God shall say or do. And there is no guide except the pillar of fire by night and a wind-driven cloud by day, the sounds and symbols of the Holy Spirit. So can you handle that? Can I handle that? That we step off onto a road where we don't get to know the end of that road. We're following down a road that we just kind of can see the lights going off, but we don't get to see the details. And we have to trust. That's the way God set up. We have to trust that the one we're following is going to lead us into green pastures and lead us beside the still waters. I should have had that for the Old Testament lesson. Our call to follow Jesus really isn't much different now from that of the four fishermen, to leave the fishing and the nets behind, to leave the familiar and go to the unfamiliar, to leave the predictable and go to the unpredictable. God knows where we're heading. And so we trust, and this was what Shannon was saying, we pray, we read scripture, we listen for God's guidance. Just saying God has a will in this is a statement of faith, that God has a will in where you go. It's not neutral. You can go your own way. But God wants you to seek God's way down God's road. So you need to give God your future, and I need to give God my future. And put our future in God's hands, and we do it together. We're not alone. We're walking down this road together, folks, as a community of Christ. We give our future to God. I'm going to close with a song that I wrote a few years ago, and I'll tell you how it came about. We had a tragic car accident in our community several years ago where a couple of teenage boys were killed. And I got asked to kind of do some of the counseling with the kids. And I was meeting with them. And one of the teenage guys said, well, where are they now? Where are our two friends now, right now? And I just said, they're on the road to God knows where. And then I heard those words. I heard what I said. They're on the road to God knows where. And I thought, wow, that's the truth. That's the road we're all on. We're on the road to God knows where. And our job is just to follow and to trust and to walk down that road behind Jesus. So here's the song. It's the words are in your extras. I'm not sure they will be audible as I sing them. I hope so. But you can read them if you don't hear them from me. We have gathered from far and near. Lord, you've drawn us, you've brought us here. Friends already and friends to be.
sisters, brothers, becoming family. So let us dance, dance together with love and laughter and without fear, holding hands with the Creator at the crossroads of our years. Dance together down the road to God knows where. We have troubles, we all have flaws. We are not worthy to heed your call. We cry, leave us, Lord, go away. But you say, take my hand and dance with me today. Let us dance, dance together, love and laughter and without fear, holding hands with the Creator at the crossroads of our years. Dance together down the road to God knows where. So here's the moment, distilled in time, to leave this fishing and these nets behind. Trade things familiar for things unknown. Lord, we offer up our lives and follow down your road. Let us dance, dance together, with love and laughter and without fear, holding hands with the Creator at the crossroads of our years. Let us dance, dance together, with love and laughter and without fear, holding hands with the Creator at the crossroads of our years. Dance together down the road, forever on your road. Dance together, God knows where. Let's pray together. Lord, you know us, and you know us well. And you know, we like to know where we're going. We're like little kids saying, how much further? Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to be able to embrace the unfamiliar and embrace the unpredictable, because you are in front of us. And we follow you. Lord, we give you our future. We put it in your hands. Give us faith to come to you when we're lost. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.